everybody say you mean. Let's ball when the beam. Who's that out there living they dream? Let's ball when the beam. Who's that still smoking all the green? Let's ball when the beam. Come on, y'all, let me hear you scream. Let's ball when the beam.
Welcome to the post show. Here we are, bringing it at you early on the week. I know Mondays I usually need podcasts to listen to, and we're trying to break it up a little bit, see what ends up working out, and getting some of that good information earlier and later on in the week.
Hopefully it's our new schedule. Hopefully we can give you one every Monday and Thursday.
Right. So we're coming off of a UFC on Fox 27. It was on Big Fox. We ended up watching those through our basic cable here in the United States, and I thought it was a really fun night of fights. Ended up doing pretty well. There's a lot of new talent. There was a lot of interesting fights in there. A lot of people were talking shit, and I think it came through. What was your rough estimate over the night? How'd you feel once it was all said and done?
On a scale of 1 to 10, what, 10 being what, UFC 205 or something like that, 209? I don't know what are the big cards anymore. I don't know them by number. I just know the nights that...
Was it 215 that it was the three championships? That's pretty much as good as it gets. All yeah. GSP,
or the like night that. Connor, I think it was Connor Diaz 2 maybe with Misha Holly. Connor Diaz 1 with Misha Holly.
Uh-huh, that was that good. Was a yeah, good there's night. A few. There was a. There's so many.
Oh, yeah. There's so many. Before I ever started watching fights, like ones you could probably tell me 10. Yeah. So on a scale, those fights being those significant and one being just... maybe how I feel about Rockhold Yol. I think it's Perth, UFC Perth. That being, well, whatever. It's like a 6. It was an okay night, fight night. I feel for like a Fox card, if you didn't know anything about fighting, it was a decent card to come into. The sad part for me, boring ass lady fights.
Yeah, I can't knock that. I think that you're onto something there, and still growing. It's still a growing division. There's still talents in the women's divisions that out of nowhere we can have a maybe not cyborg guest type of fighter, but somebody with skills coming up.
The thing UFC, I hate to be Brennan Schaub here because he talks about numbers and stuff. Fox is going to be, when you're on main show Fox, main TV, Big Fox as you call it, when you're on that channel, that's how you get your new audience. That's your growing time. That's where you're just looking for new people that are flipping across. There's no football. They don't know what to do. They're sitting on their couch. It was a weird lineup of stars on this card compared to how the Fertitta brothers used to play it.
I agree. Totally agree.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't those up-and-coming stars.
Definitely the Zuffa was the era of... UFC basing itself off of WWE, but WME has never once said that they were basing their motto or their projections in the future off of WWE. So I think that we're going to see things that we've never seen before. It's a complete changing of hands. I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm not surprised because I'm expecting anything to happen. I'm not dead set that it's going to go one way due to this being such a big year for the UFC.
Before we run through it, and I don't know if I should wait till afterward to ask you this question.
Uh-huh.
Do you think there was a loser of the night and a winner of the night?
Over the whole entire card? Yeah, there was nothing. I think Gregor Gillespie is probably the winner of the night.
I can see that and agree with you there, I think.
And then
maybe Bektik. Both those guys right there.
Yeah, they both had big showings. The loser of the night. I mean, it'd probably be our net the debut fighter just because he got swarmed for 2 rounds, but the person that also lost the most was what was that nasty split decision?
Was it the Kish Kim?
I think Coke. I think Coke lost a lot there.
I don't know.
Bobby Green coming off of a 4-5 losing streak just beating you? Like, that's not going to feel good.
I think the loser of the night's Derek Brunson.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, we definitely did go with Derek. He definitely did not come through.
I don't think I ended up with Derek. I think I ended up with friggin' Souza for decision. Think of how crazy. Something's going on. I think either there's a glitch or we're pressing stuff while we're talking. because I don't ever remember picking Sousa by decision. That's a really odd choice for me. A 5-round decision.
Right.
Sousa versus Brunson.
What I feel like I might be doing with Tapology as well is opening windows earlier in the week and then pressing my shortcut and it opens a new window. So then at the end of the week when I close all of my apps or at the end of the day, it might be the final card and so it won't switch it. But I think it might. There may be some operator error in here for me because I know I ended up picking Coke and I had green decision on my card. And same with Feely. We had Andre Feely as our underdog pick of the week, and I somehow had Dennis Bermudez's decision, which doesn't make any sense to me.
Let's work up through it.
All from the starting, from the bottom to the top, we have Corey Sandhagen defeating Austin Arnett in a second round TKO. This was Sandhagen's coming out. We said that Team Elevation was going to take Sandhagen to new levels, and he is. He really, to me, looked TJ-esque in a lot of his setups, a lot of his stuff, and the announcers themselves were saying, hey, he was training with TJ for a while, but due to some conflict issues, they're no longer doing that. And I'm assuming it's because Sandhagen all of a sudden is in a division that is going to have to fight TJ. So you got to cut that right away.
By the time he crawls up the ranks, TJ will be done. TJ, if he plays it smart, he'll be done. By the time Sandhagen gets up to where he's going to be competition for TJ, even if, right, whether it's in weight or out of this sport altogether.
Mm-hmm.
I think we were right on. I think hashtag Colorado cardio all night.
Oh, yeah.
All night.
I could see, though, even though Austin was getting beat to the punch pretty much everywhere, the angles that Sandhagen was throwing were really good. But a thing that I was hesitant on with Hague is that he really starts to slow down. And a better fighter is going to be able to capitalize on that. And Sandhagen has been able to finish a lot of his opponents, so UFC, it seems to all those finishes don't come as often because you got guys that can take a beating and then throw one back. So Sandhagen now knows what it takes to be in the UFC, but he hasn't had the UFC level competition yet, but he's breaking in that door because he's going to get nothing but good fights coming up.
Colorado will be the next mecca of UFC. I'm saying it. I think that cardio, it's the highest spot in this country. And that cardio, as we're seeing, it's the better the cardio, the bigger fights you get, the more it matters. More guys are withstanding those first rounds with the leg kicks, and turning it on later on.
Right.
I think it's, I mean, not that cardio wasn't always important in the sport. I just think guys like TJ Dillashaw are taking it all to a next level. And I know he gets credit from UFC fans, real fans, but casuals don't get how much TJ Dillashaw is changing the game all around.
Is it TJ or is it that Bang Ludwig system?
I think a little bit of both. I think all good. I don't think you do it alone, no matter what it is.
Interesting.
I think a team is important in this sport, and one guy goes in and implements what the team perfects, but I think the team is so important. I don't think you can do it alone.
So, on to the next fight. We had Nico Price defeating George Sullivan via submission, round two. I actually was shitting my pants a little bit during this fight. We had Nico Price everywhere, but he was getting outworked top control by Sullivan up multiple times, but we both saw Sullivan gassing just that much more. But the fact that Sullivan was able to get takedowns on Price really is making me think against a good wrestler. Price throws up submissions and stuff, but an even stockier wrestler that has a better gas tank is going to be able to keep fighting those off long enough for a 3-round decision. So I still really like Price, but Sullivan, time to get on out of here, my friend.
I wasn't as worried as you, and I actually feel like I said to you during this fight, I can't believe I didn't pick submission on this before it way ever happened.
Right.
I'm like, I can't believe I didn't see that happening. Like, Nico Price is so long. He has a good rubber guard. Like, we were discussing it during the fight before it happened.
Right.
The same way we were discussing a lot of things in the fight before even the announcers said them, which led us to, we got to get the camera up and have our own
live show.
Yeah, and have our own fight, compadre.
Hola, compa. That'd be dope. Having a live show, end up getting subscribers, I'm sure we'll be able to figure it out when it comes. But it really was interesting how life imitates art. And we must be the art out there. So,
well, and just so you guys know, you can follow us everywhere at Lesbo and the Bean, including Patreon at Lesbo and the Bean. And if you guys ever donate anything to that, it will always go for the production of this show, whether it's, you know, for the camera or for parts of our studio.
Dare I say they get a shout out?
Oh my gosh, more than that.
They get a shout out?
Eventually, we'll have a back wall of fame, and the people will have slots on that wall of fame. I think, you know, top 10 slots.
Be a little camgirl-esque.
Yeah.
Top
10 slots can be on our wall of fame.
That would be, yeah. What the future may hold.
And maybe we'll have top 10 slots of the week, or maybe we'll have top 10, you know. And we'll give them shout outs, obviously, on the podcast as well. And I wouldn't mind, we're going to set up to a phone call, like a line, and maybe we can get a 1-800 number depending on how that goes so people can call from all over. And we'll start playing some of those on air so we can play your questions on air instead of reading them. I think that would be a cooler thing. Bring it back a little old school radio style where people are calling in.
Sounds
even
fun.
Though I don't want to take them live on air because I don't want your ba-ba buoys.
That's what I was thinking. That's how we're going to get on air. Howard Stern. That's exactly how we're going
to
do it.
So anyway, everywhere, Lesbo and the Bean. That's it.
So, we had Vince Bichelle defeating Joaquin Silva in a 3-round decision. Takedowns Riff definitely took over in this fight. It was a grind. Both fighters looping, throwing heavy, heavy hands. Both guys stay in the division at 155. Nothing really stuck out. They're both semi-grinders, but Silva, not as much due to that wrestling. For Bichelle, as we said here at the cast, so nothing to say negative about these guys. They can both win fights in the UFC.
Something I realized about myself in this fight, and then it just was solidified throughout the night, and then I was thinking back to previous picks I made, especially even the last fight card. I'm a wrestler hater.
Interesting. After the conversations we've had about American wrestling.
I know, and it seems I don't trust it. Like, maybe I've just learned a lot in it. Like,
you're waiting for it to get exposed, and it's not going to get exposed.
It's not. It really is almost like a perfected thing. And there's things that some guys do. The dangerous part is if you take a guy like Souza, which I know we'll get onto later, when they have like such a good ground or such a good ground base, like jiu-jitsu or American wrestling, and then they perfect their stand-up. And that's where Souza is a pretty frightening guy.
Oh, yeah. So, eventually getting there. Anything left for Bichelle Silva? Do you see them any forward? I think they both looked okay. They'll beat guys at 55. They're not going to make a run for the title anytime soon.
No, neither guy stood out to me enough to even think of them in rankings.
Am I just waiting to start a fade Bichelle, like, soon? Like, I feel like I did prematurely. I'm close. He's getting in that age range, and this performance, even though it looked good, he took even more damage than he usually does. So the fights only get harder, Bichelle. The fights only get harder. On to the next fight. We had Kim defeating Justine Kish in a 3-round decision. I thought that this was, not only did I have Kish, but this was a robbery. I had Kish winning 3 rounds out of that, and I don't even know how the scorecards went, but I know that a lot of people had this going the other way.
I thought it was a surprising fight. The judging all night was interesting. I don't know how they were judging it. I think that we were talking about it during. I think the third round was weighed heavier than the rest of the fight.
That tends to happen. Especially with just boxing
judges. But it shouldn't
judges.
If you were just going with the scorecards.
I would agree.
It was interesting how certain things we... takedowns, we didn't know if they were going to count or not. It looks like they did. It looks like they helped.
On some of them, but it should have been more of a blowout.
I was actually surprised. To me, even though I thought Kish won a split decision here, I still will fade Kish from this point forward. And Kim's one I want to watch. I feel like if she got in with a good camp and she needs to tone up, even her body style to me looks like she could drop to the 115.
Wow.
But I thought she had some crisp strikes. I thought her arms looked so feeble and weak. I was surprised.
Her head was bouncing around. Was this the fight that she got punched in the eye and said stop. And
yes, this was it, right? Right on that, where she actually got punched. She got punched, not poked.
And there was no poke. They didn't even show the review. And Dominic Cruz himself said that was a punch. And I was saying that was a punch. I had just watched that right hand come in from Kish, hit her right in the eye, and she just, that's a TKO. Like, he should have had a TKO, like,
round
three.
And she stopped before the ref stopped.
Yeah, and then the ref stopped. It came in and stopped, and technically that should have been. So, need to get in that ref and shit. God dang. I would not let that happen. That would have been a TKO. Either way, how do you feel both of these fighters?
Don't care.
Yeah. In this division, they can lose four fights in a row, and they're going to keep a contract. So, onward, we have Marcos defeating Lima in a 3-round decision. This was also up in
sketchy
the air.
Sketchy decision.
Sketchy-ass decision. These, I feel like the takedowns weren't counted as much. There was minimal ones, but I thought Marcos would have had more. It would have been more dominant. I think it was like 29-28. Either way, with these guacamole fights, as we correctly predicted, I ended up making an entire dinner. Making it back right before, because nothing stuck out for either one of these ladies in Marcos and Lima for me. Neither one did much. I don't know whether to fade them or not. It all depends on their next opponent. But what do you think about the Marcos Lima guacamole centerpiece?
It's the same thing with this division. Neither of them is going to crawl to the top echelon of girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is how you can do the 115 or 125 at this point. If I'm WME, can Paige VanZant fight them? I think they're both safe fighters for Paige VanZant to fight. So that means they don't go anywhere, in my opinion.
I could see that. Totally, 100%. And that's a really unfortunate. And Marcos, I had so much more hype on. And personally, she's just kind of not lived up for me.
Do they ever get to go to the Andrade? They don't even get to the Carla Esparza level, as far as I'm concerned. Like, these girls are
echelon. Yeah, I think they would both lose to Esparza. So, onward, we have Chookagian defeating Barella in a 3-round decision. I just got to say, the train herself really came through with the key eyeing and just tons of output. I feel like it was like 2-1 compared to strikes. She had double the amount of strikes on Barella. Barella's not even UFC caliber to me, but for this division, she can, again, lose 3-4 fights and keep in there. Chookagian's getting better and better. I'm really liking what she's doing. Takedown defense needs to keep improving. That ground stuff, she did get up off of her back.
Do you like this one? Caitlin, the choo-choo train Chookagian.
I love it. Love it. But it doesn't need to be blonde fighter. I'll tell you that right now.
Not blonde
Everybody
fighter.
Talks shit. Not only did we...
Told you ahead of time.
All of our significant others talk shit on that name. And the announcers brought it up like, blonde fighter has no... Weren't they saying something?
Yeah.
Everybody. Train. It's gotta be train.
Caitlin the train Chookagian. Caitlin the choo choo train Chookagian. Caitlin choo choo train Chookagian. Those are one of the choices. Maybe we'll put up a vote. But guess what won't be on there? Even if I wrote down 100 names for her, 100 nicknames, it wouldn't be Blonde Fighter. It would not be Blonde Fighter. That fight was kind of unmemorable. I guess she had an okay stand up. She's lucky she was fighting somebody at Barella's level, as far as I'm concerned. There's nothing about her that puts her in any kind of threatening place for even the top of this division. It sucks for this division.
Yeah.
What do you do in this division when you have Shevchenko?
What you don't do is put three of these fights back to back to back.
Well, yeah, UFC. Are you kidding?
Like, you mix these in throughout the night. You don't fucking stack them on top of each other.
I even said, this is so sexist and horrible. I said to you after this fight, was this the last lady fight? And you said, yes. And I was like, oh, thank God. It was tedious as fuck.
You need to break it up a bit.
Or if you're going to put three lady fights back to back to back, put in three different styles where you have a lady who fucking punches, a lady who fucking
they
grapples.
They all kind of turn out like that, though, regardless of the styles right now. Really think about it. They all pretty much have that well-rounded MMA-esque. One might have a little more power than the other, but not
really.
Well,
I even, like, if you took the Holmes-Cyborg fight. That was enjoyable to me. If you took...
But that's the top level.
No. I understand that, but I think there's a lot of thick girls in that top level.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter any way you cut it. There shouldn't... If it was going to be three back-to-back-to-back, even if they were a main event, it would have to be girls at that top level.
Yeah, to make it interesting.
Yeah, otherwise it cannot
be... But you got to get these other ladies fights, too.
Guess what it can be? Once every three fights. So you have one lady fight, two dude fights. A lady fight, two dude fights.
I would love that.
Lady fight. And I'm not saying because it's sexist. It's just... We talk about it all the time. Lady fighting is growing leaps and bounds quicker than guy fighting ever did. But it still has some growing to do.
Yep.
It would be crazy not to say that. It would be crazy to ignore that and think that women's fighting is on the exact same par as men's fighting. It would be crazy. It's getting there. It's getting there.
It is.
For every 1 year of women's fighting is 10 years of, and I mean on TV. For every 1 year we see women on TV, they're growing 10 years of what it took men to do on TV. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah, the leaps and bounds.
Leaps and bounds.
So, taking another leap and a bound.
You're like, I don't even want to talk about this. You'll be hashtag me too up in this bit.
Mirsad Bektik defeating Godofredo Pepe in the worst wage gauge we ever had. Was it he the wage gauge? Was it Pepe?
I think it was Pepe.
I think it was. And
sorry,
a body shot, 2 minutes, 40 seconds.
It hurt us,
in.
Too.
Oh, it hurt a lot of my cards.
And he was looking good at first.
So Bektik's on a roll, but Pepe's on his way on out of here. I wouldn't say
it was
say
a body shot.
Yeah, it was a beautiful body
right
shot by
Bektik. Right to the sternum.
Oh, yeah. It hurt. It would put me down. I couldn't take that. So what are you going to do? Bektik keeps going. Pepe... You're going to have another fight in the UFC. On to the next one.
Pepe's lucky he has the right look to get another fight in the UFC, which is just as important as the words that you use to get the fight. Mirsad Bektik looked good, but I still think don't jump on that hype train, everyone. It's dangerous when you watch these guys get too quick of a finish. And I thought Bektik got hurt a few times in that fight early by Pepe.
Yep.
And if Pepe's a guy that you say you're going to fade, Bektik looked good in that fight. Is Pepe UFC caliber?
I think, yeah, he's not making a title run, but he'll have a job in the UFC.
The next fight that Bektik gets, he did well enough in this fight. The next fight that he gets will be against somebody. I want to see how his ground game all works out.
Yeah, I think that's a good call.
I need a wrestler against him. Now everything's going to be wrestler. But I even said it. I always pick a wrestler card. Well, if that seems to work, I need to just pick more wrestlers on my cards.
True. Anything left with either of these?
No.
Anything to remember?
Nope.
All right. So we had Bobby Green at 155 defeating Eric Koch in a 3-round decision. I was all over Koch during the show somehow. My Tapology saved improperly, and I had Green decision, and it worked out. This was a sketchy-ass split decision. Green was getting hit just as much. Koch was just, I think, showing it more.
You know, it's a damn shame that this fight happened to both guys, because I actually thought both guys looked better than they had in any of their last fights.
Totally agree.
And it could have been, if they were fighting different guys on the nights, both guys could have been shooting stars in the night. They both had a lot of good moments in the fight that if they were going against lesser fighters, it would have shown more. They just seemed to stunt each other. They just seemed to, like, make each other kind of look... bad, but they put on some good moments in there that I've never seen from Bobby Green before. I've never seen him stand and blow with somebody again and again and again. I was impressed in the fight. It was an exciting decision, which you don't see all the time.
Totally agree. Though, do you think that, did you see, am I just making it up, or is Bobby Green changed his style a little bit? I feel like he's super flat-footed now. Doesn't have that much movement, but he is elusive. And he can wear a punch really, really well. Ugh. It's going to be hard for me to bet on either one of these fighters moving on.
I agree.
It's not going to be easy. They're not going to be favorites for any really fights I'm looking forward. At welterweight, though, we had a competition between Drew Dober, Frank Camacho. Drew Dober coming out in a decision. This was a split-ish type of a fight. This one, we were worried about the takedowns, worrying for Camacho or not. By the end, I do feel like we called it 100% right with Camacho's gas tank not being there. That's what happened. It was Camacho just having his hands at his hips. He was eating shots and giving shots every... I feel like this fight I was saying that Drew Dober was landing 3, 4, 5 shots, but Camacho was landing one hard one. So it was really sketchy to tell what the judges were going to pick. I do think the grappling exchanges benefited Dober. He even reversed it a few times, and I like Dober at this division. I hope he doesn't move down, because I don't know how he made 170.
I know. We were talking about the whole fight. The fact that he said before that he would like to move back to 155, we think is nuts.
So
where did he have the fat to lose?
The reason that Dober moved to 170 is because the UFC asked him to, because his previous fight at 155, the very next day, he weighed in 28 pounds heavier than 155 pounds. Almost 30 pounds he gained. That can't be good for you. Like, your body's not moving the same way.
It's not fair for the other person. They're a different size person.
I thought Dober had a good showing at 70 as well.
I thought he looked good. I thought he's a young enough guy that his skills could still come together.
How'd you feel about him on the mic? He was a great kid. He was saying, the boos, the whatever, like, we tried to finish each other. He had a really heartfelt, sentimental kind of thing, like, thank you guys for letting me do this.
We tried to come in here and put on a good fight.
Yeah, like, what do you want? We tried to finish each other. Sorry, I didn't quit. Like, what the hell do you guys want?
And Frank Camacho is an underrated guy, and I liked Drew Dober. I thought he got out of the a lot of dangerous positions kind of easily. It made me impressed with him. I'm excited for him going forward. And I like him better at 170.
Yeah, I think Camacho can also win a few fights at 70 as well. I don't think he's out of it by any means whatsoever. So, on the main event, we also had Gregor Gillespie versus Jordan Rinaldi. Gillespie being the biggest favorite of the night, also DK-wise. But he really paid out a finish at the end of the first round. I ended up picking the second round, but either way, it was a TKO. Gillespie just overwhelms you with crisp striking.
He was the most expensive, but most amount of points of the night.
Yeah, and it paid off. I think it was like 133 or something like that. So there was enough underdogs in there to help me out throughout the night, and it was worth every penny. He helped me cash out by the end of the night. There was quite a few finishes. Was it Gillespie that was going to the body incredibly well? What fight was that? Oh, that was at Sam Hagen. Sam Hagen was going to the body wonderfully. There was a few other guys going to the body really well.
I am on the Gregor Gillespie bandwagon. I thought Rinaldi looked okay in the fight, and Gregor Gillespie manhandled him. He is going to be one to watch. He's a hype train that I am all about getting on, and I feel so naive that I picked against him. I thought he looked amazing. I like him going forward pretty much against anyone. He's like an Usman of his division.
At lightweight and welterweight are the two thickest divisions in the UFC. And he's moving forward untouched. That's pretty high praise.
He was hurt a few times, but he was tough.
Coherent.
He looks good and all. I thought his striking looked good.
Yeah, it was crisp.
And then he went to the ground.
Yep.
And wow. Holy shit.
Yep. Tons of heavy pressure.
Everything he wanted to do.
Yep. Yeah. And you're like, this is so easy. No, that other guy's UFC. Rinaldi has fights to win in the UFC. He's not just going to be walkover. He's going to win some fights, definitely. But Gillespie is in that road to the top. You can see that belt in his near future. Cody Garbrandt.
Of a dangerous division. Of a dangerous division.
Full of fucking killers. Killers at 155.
He's at the right place, though, for those guys to be gone when he gets there. He's at the right spot in his career.
It's got to happen.
Work his way through the Eddie Alvarez's and the Dustin Poirier's. And there's some other guys, the Barboza's, to work his way up until he gets to the Tony and Khabib's. And somebody's going to lose that fight.
Yep.
Somebody. And I don't, a new prediction, just since we're on this division, I don't think McGregor ever fights either of those guys. I think he just Nate Diaz's 3 and he dips. Out of UFC and then boxes, maybe another fight or two.
Is there a prop line on that? How do we get money on that? Neither of those fights come to fruition. There's got to be some sort of
something or other. I mean, really think about it. Why would you do either of those fights at McGregor, especially if they stripped your belt?
Max surprised me before.
He doesn't need to surprise anyone anymore. He can just play it safe.
Yeah, he'll make $1 million regardless.
And as far as the common fan's concerned, especially like all the extra people that ordered the Mac vs. May pay-per-view, they only know about the Nate Diaz fights because that's all Floyd ever talked about. So that's the only fight that really matters as far as the common fan's concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And the trilogy is set up to be there perfectly. It's a fight that McGregor thinks he can win. It's kind of the perfect setup if it's his last MMA fight. I'm going to go fight a real fight. And that's his claim to fame with boxing and getting these other fights and calling out the next boxer in the ring is being, oh, it's a real fight, in quotes. You know, it's not a boxing match under your set of rules.
Right.
He goes in there, he calls out Manny Pacquiao or Pauly, but I don't think so. I think he calls Floyd out again. And I think Floyd and him already chatted on the phone. And Floyd's going to be waiting for this call. And it's going to take a year to prep up to it.
This isn't a prediction. This is a nightmare. I know. That's horrible.
I don't want to hear anymore. We're never going
to
see Conor fight.
I don't even want to hear it. I'm going to stick my fingers in my ears and just start.
We're never going to see him fight anymore like we want to see him fight.
I know.
That's never going to happen. We're never going
to
see.
That's the prediction to make. That's a good one. Yeah. So
sorry, 155 Gregor Gillespie.
We are going on to the co-main event.
Bean likes to talk about Conor McGregor once an episode.
We gotta be able to write it in there somewhere.
Yeah.
So at 145, we had the co-main event, Andre Feely defeating Dennis Bermudez at 145. This was the Leslie Smith underdog pick. You make money, putting money on the side, cashing it out. Decision all day. This was a split decision that should have never been. By far, 30-27 for Bermudez is no way. If anything, he won 2 and 3. But Andre Feely won the first round, guaranteed.
I think easy for Andre Feely.
And two, because he got two takedowns in each.
To me, Andre Feely won 1 and 2.
Yep, easy.
3, a little sketchy, but I believe he got a takedown at the end of it.
I think he did.
I might be wrong, but he had just as much. 3 could have been up in the air.
But he had 4 takedowns, guaranteed.
3 could have been up in the air. But we actually said during this fight, I think, we thought Andre Feely had 1 and 2. If anything, worst case scenario, it could have been a 10-8 for Bermudez in the third round.
Right.
Because he controlled so many of the first minutes of the fight. But because he turned it on, his cardio didn't wash away. Like, it was sucking in 2,
yep.
And then 3 turned it on. But we thought, if anything, draw. We thought it could have been a weird draw.
It could have been. If it was a 10-8 round for Bermudez and the final one.
But never Dennis Bermudez winning.
30-27, never. Never. Dennis, they were both landing equally. I thought
by round 3, yep. In the last 2 minutes, Feely turned it back on. So then he would have lost that 10-8 that we originally thought Dennis Bermudez was having in the last round.
Because
mm-hmm. Feely came back. So even if Bermudez won that last round, in my opinion, there is no possibility of him winning. There was one judge that kept doing 30-27s all night.
Really weird stuff, but that's because some of these judges are boxing judges.
Get out of here.
I know. Come on. Give a little respect.
I would rather, to me, all the judges should be ex-fighters.
But the community is so small that ex-fighters are usually training other people, so you have bias. It's just, you can't do that. You do have to have third party, but...
But I don't think you have 3 judges.
It's closed door. I can't apply and get there.
I think you have 5 judges, and you mm-hmm. drop the highest and lowest scores, and that's how you...
I do think that championship bouts should have 2 referees.
I agree.
For the
belt. One in ring, and one at each, at least 3 around the edge.
Just
I think
like wrestling,
be like football.
There'll be one that'll always be telling the other one. There'll be a main, and then his backup, and the backup is always supposed to be where the other one can't watch. So he's on the other side like, oh, he did grab his dick.
And
yeah,
what about
he grabbed his
this
shorts.
Idea? Do you think the octagon should be attached to a car battery so that if they touch it or go up against it, they get zapped?
No, I don't think that the insurance would allow it.
I'd hold you up against it.
That would be dope as hell. We'll get there in the future as the sport evolves. It needs to get bloodier somehow. But we had money on Feely. Ended up being plus money by the end of it. He was near even the whole time. Feely, keep going forward. Those takedowns are solid. Great timing. He was eating a lot of leg kicks during that whole time. Bermudez, told you guys, he's losing it a little bit. Though he comes on later in the fights, but people know how to beat him. Beat him in the first 2 rounds. So
I agree. He is slipping a tad.
On to the main event, we had...
Speaking of slipping a tad, I was really just thinking in my head about Derek Brunson's ice skates.
We had Rolando Souza defeating Derek Brunson via TKO round one. I think that Brunson even partially blocked that kick. Did he not? It's still concussed him enough. Souza came in like a freaking predator and didn't swarm on him. Gave it time, and it was a right stoppage. People that are saying that was early, that's bullshit. Brunson didn't need to get hurt anymore. He was dazed and confused.
Agree.
Derek Brunson kept it together better than I thought. He didn't blitz as much. And when he did try to blitz later on into the fight, you saw Derek Brunson doing that 3-4 punch combination and Souza pistoning that left in there. And that set up that head kick because Brunson took some damage prior to that landing. It wasn't just a head kick. It was an accumulation of the fight. Souza still looked good. He looked thinner than I remember ever seeing him. Leaner than he'd ever looked, but he looked lean and mean and had shit tons of power still.
As long as Ronaldo Souza does not pop afterward, after all this.
I totally agree with that.
He can make a run again at this. Bobby Knuckles, Robert Whittaker, we don't know what's going on with him right now.
Nasty knees.
Well, did he get a staph infection? Staph as well,
where he might lose a liver too. It
started eating his organs?
Yeah, something crazy like that.
Oh my gosh. And all the best to him because he was a guy that I felt like was going places.
Right. So it's Romero Rockhold right now for the belt.
Are you fucking kidding me?
So Souza against either one of those, it's a rematch versus Romero. And then it's, Rockhold's beat Souza as well.
Mark my words, everyone, and I'm not a huge Yoel Romero fan, but I think Luke Rockhold is not the same fighter. That Bisping knockout, he didn't look good in his last win. Even though he won in the second round, he did not look good doing it. He looked tentative, nervous. He looked like he buckled once, like his knees buckled once. I like Ronaldo Souza going forward a lot. I don't think a lot of guys have the power Bobby Knuckles does to knock Ronaldo out.
Even though these fighters have all fought each other, I'm ready to watch them fight again. Each one of them. Me pair too. Them off with either any one of them and let some other 85ers get in the mix in there. And guess what? It'll be fun fights against them, but it sucks this whole interim situation in this division
Derek
as well.
Derek Brunson, where does he go?
Oh, well, I'm going to have to start fading Brunson much, much more. But he blitz. There's so many lower level guys that he can blitz and blow right through. And
here's what I say about him. And I almost wish we could put in short bets as the fight goes on that the odds just change depending on who has control. Like, I wish there was that kind of quick bets we could do online. The second Brunson puts on those ice skates, he is done.
Yeah, we do see it
the
every
second
time.
You start see him slipping around that ring like he is on, like he's a little kid with his white socks on a new wax kitchen
it's
floor.
It's like Charlie Chaplin to me where he sticks his arm out and is like, flaying his arms in the air. Whoa, whoa, spinning.
It's like Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, every time we do tend to see that, it's bad news. And I was afraid I was going to see that, and it didn't happen for a long time. But eventually it happened in exactly what we thought.
It happened, right around the three-minute mark.
I had Brunson on a few, but I put Souza on a bunch of DK cards as well. So he came through, ended up cashing out with a mix-up on a bunch
of cards.
Everyone I follow. Yep.
And they all pick different fighters. Everybody picked different fighters throughout the night. Everybody ended up with the same score on Tapology. I only follow 6 people. But all those people and everybody chose different throughout the whole night.
Huh.
I was like, what a weird night of fights.
And that was, I had 9 out of 12, only 3 wrong on the night.
9 out of 12, me as well. And I thought I had
a great
scorecard. I felt like I had a bad night.
I feel like we had some unders in there. It wasn't all favorites.
I wish I would have, of all of it, that I really think about it, Gregor Gillespie, I should have changed.
Uh-huh.
The obvious.
And
that's
Brunson and Brunson. Fucking should have changed Brunson.
I had Souza.
Oh, okay. Well, I had Brunson. I feel, but that's the one I feel stupid about. It's just, I don't know the ties. It is that wrestler. Brunson has that wrestling. Took down Yoel Romero. He could have used it, but Souza on the ground is a fucking monster. So that was a heart pick just because Brunson is cashed for me so many other times.
And nothing else I really feel like, Pitchell, like you were saying, I just don't know when to fade him, and I just faded him one fight too soon. Uh-huh. So I can't really say I would have gone back on that pick. Sanhagen, Nico Price, the Kish Kim, like we said, we thought she got robbed, and I had Kish on that fight. A lot of people who had Kish, you know.
Thought she got robbed, yeah.
But then I feel like in the next fight, it went my way because I had Marcos, but it was sketchy decision. So I couldn't even be pissed about that. Chukagan, Bektik, I had Bobby Green, and this is something I didn't change that I might have going into the fight. I started to like Coke as the fight went on, or as the week got closer. Oh, wow. And I just didn't change it. So I can't even be mad about the Gregor Gillespie thing. Andre Feely never swayed to Bermudez all week. And I actually thought I had Brunson on air and was surprised I had Sousa on my Tapology. So I guess it all works out. It all comes out in the wash. Anything in the twits?
I guess post stuff. I don't know anything crazy that came out. Do you know who ended up getting fight of the night or like any of the bonuses?
No. You were saying though that they were putting some fights together really fast. That, oh, the Stipe DC fight.
Isn't that like we were like, oh, that's not going to happen. Oh, wait. Yes, yeah. It is.
And it looks like it's probably going to happen the same week of the Cyborg versus Amanda Nunes. Just because the Fight House typically goes that. No, I think they moved the Fight House to the New York week. So it goes out of Vegas that week, and then New York has a card.
It's interesting. I'm intrigued. I want to watch that one, honestly.
Who do you have right now off the top of your head?
DC. He's already won the heavyweight division. I got DC, baby.
Against Stipe?
DC, baby. Give me that DC money. Give him underdog. I got DC.
Stipe?
He's won a heavyweight strike force contender. That's how he got into MMA. They were like, oh, an alternate, Daniel Cormier. Nobody had heard of him. They just knew he was a wrestler. Won the belt and beat Josh Charbonnet, submitted him like, DC, baby. DC, baby.
I have Stipe right now.
I fucking love DC. I turn Mark.
If I were the marketer for Stipe and you were the marketer for DC, you would totally buy your product over mine. All I said was, baby. I am Stipe.
Yeah, I gave you his accolades.
I know. You told me everything about him. You gave him a chant.
Any other good ones? Gaethje versus Poirier was announced. I don't know if we talked about that. That was recently.
I don't like that fight that soon for
also,
Gaethje.
Also, being a really recent fight where with Gaethje is like, chill out a little bit.
Take some time off for that brain, Bubba. Take some time off for that brain, Bubba. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if there's anything else crazy. I was going to get the fan questions together for you, but there wasn't enough time in between last night's fights and this podcast.
It's the way it goes sometimes.
Yeah.
What was there was a little bit of, we got next Saturday's card coming up, so we're going to definitely get back to you on Wednesday for a breakdown more than likely.
So I think though we'll be recording the shows on Sunday and Wednesday, they'll be ready for upload and everything for you guys on Monday and Thursday. So we do it Sunday, Wednesday. You get it Monday and Thursday right now. Hopefully everything on YouTube will work out when all that... There's more equipment and foofa that you have to get together for this whole thing than we originally thought. It's a lot of foofa. It's a whole bunch of rigmarole.
Yeah, totally agree. So remember to follow us wherever
Lesbo and the Bean is sold.
Right. At any point in time on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube.
The .com.
All of it.
All of it.
Lesbo and the Bean!